In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Today we're really blessed to have a baptism, and at the same time to celebrate the Dormition of Righteous Anna. Now, this is a very special day to me, because Anna and Joachim are sometimes sort of put off into the background, even though we hear of them all the time. Joachim and Anna, Joachim and Anna. I mean, there's hardly a service that goes by where we don't hear anything about that. And yet, we celebrate her dormition, her falling asleep, her repose, just like we will the Mother of God in a few weeks. And for some, that might seem sort of a strange concept. We're celebrating the repose of someone. It's like, you know, not like we're happy you died. Nothing like that, because it's actually the beginning of things for them. But I'll come back to that. Joachim and Anna, of course, were very pious. They were very wealthy. They had the Nazarene and Bethlehem connection. They, of course, were in a very, very important position in that they were of the royal lineage of David, the tribe of Levi, which was a big deal if you happened to be a Jew back then. And the reason was because if that was the case, you had the possibility of giving birth to the Messiah, which was a very important, a very great thing. Joachim and Anna had, you know, pretty much had it made. They were very wealthy. In fact, they used to graze their flocks halfway down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. And in fact, that area now, there's a very famous monastery of St. George the Chosvite that is there. And the tradition of that monastery actually is that it was built on the land that Joachim and Anna owned. So it's a very, very important thing. Of course, Anna was the daughter of Matan and Miriam. And there was also another Miriam that was a daughter. There were actually three daughters born. Miriam became the mother of Elizabeth. Elizabeth, of course, who married Zacharias of Zacharias and Elizabeth fame, who gave birth to John the Baptist. And then, of course, Anna became the mother of the Mother of God, so that that cousin relationship was established, as we read in the Gospel of St. Luke, when the Mother of God goes to visit Elizabeth, goes to visit her cousin. So those family connections were very important. The fact that they were in that specific tribe was very important. And yet one thing was lacking for them. They were barren. And this barrenness was seen as a plague on them, as something they must have done wrong. You can imagine how they felt. Again, they had everything. They had all the things of life that they needed. Joachim had position, and yet his wife could not conceive. And that was finally held against him. We know that Joachim lived to about 81 years of age, that Anna was 79, most sources say. Some sources say 69 years of age, but mostly 79 years of age. So they were getting up there, so to speak, at the time when they really got accused of having something wrong with them, because Joachim brought his offering to the temple. The high priest refused it. Now you can imagine this. This is a man of position who had many friends, was very well known, and yet the high priest acts as if he personally is kind of irritated by this, because he refuses Joachim's sacrifice. He would not take it. He said no, despite the fact that you are so well off, that you have position, you are barren. And because of that, according to the thinking at the time, there must be something about you or about your family that means you are barren. God has cursed you for some reason. This was a terrible blow to Joachim. You can imagine how he felt. He leaves and he goes out into the desert. Anna, of course, is also devastated by this, because she at this time is probably taking it very, very personally, as if it's all her fault So she goes and begins praying in her garden, and both of them have a visitation from the archangel Gabriel, who tells them that because of their prayers, because of their piety, they are going to be involved in the great lineage of salvation history in a way that they can really not imagine. Not long after that, of course, Anna did indeed conceive and give birth to the Mother of God, thereby becoming the grandmother of God. Even though she didn't have a lot of time to exercise this, because after the Mother of God went to the temple at age 3, and around age 11 is when they reposed. We're not sure of the exact time, but we do know that it was before the Annunciation to the Mother of God. And yet they were involved in this wondrous thing, taking their daughter, whom they took a vow before the Lord and said that they would give this child, if they could bear a child, to the service of God. And that's exactly what happened. You can imagine how thrilled they were because of this. We have so many feasts of the Mother of God coming forth in just a few weeks. Two of them coming up here in the fall that continue this whole process of the Mother of God being born, going into the temple, all these wonderful things. But yet Anna must have been truly, truly grateful to God for these things. Because, again, they had everything. They were wealthy, but she would have traded every bit of wealth she ever had, every bit of position, every bit of any sort of standing in the community that she had, everything she would have traded for this one thing, to be able to give birth. And little did she know that indeed she was going to be in the line of the person who would give birth to the most holy Son of God. It's an extraordinary tale when you think about it. Because someone like this, who, you know, we've all been through there, we all have our frustrations in life, our difficulties, things seem to be going great over here, all right? Everything's wonderful. But doesn't it seem like there's always something off in life? Everything's great here, but yet there's something here you wish you could fix. You know, something that's just a thorn in your side for some reason. And so it was with Joachim and Anna. They were the same way as all of us. They had achieved everything their hearts could have desired, but yet there was this one big thing that was gnawing away at them. And yet they bore it in patience, in great patience, in great love for God. They never lost faith. And that's the object lesson to all of us today. They never lost faith in God and continued saying, as St. John Chrysostom would say many years later, glory to God for all things. And because of this faithfulness to God, they were indeed blessed absolutely beyond measure. So, why then is her Dormition important? And it's interesting too, because we happen to celebrate the Dormition of a great saint at the birth of another child of God in the font today. And the two really are connected. Because as we are born into this life, even after we are baptized, our ascetic struggle begins almost from the first breath that we draw air, doesn't it? What does a child do? A child gets frustrated as it begins to get older. It wants to do things. It wants to grab. It wants to roll over. It wants to walk, but yet it's thwarted every single time. That frustration sets in. That denial of will sets in, even at the very beginning, which is a pattern for what it should be for the rest of our lives. But our lives should be geared from the moment of the font to the moment of lying on the funeral bier. Because that is the culmination of everything. St. Paul said that he would just as soon go on and be with the Lord. How many of the other saints we've celebrated recently have said that same thing? St. Euthymia said the same thing a couple of weeks ago, that it was nothing to her to give up her life. Nothing. Didn't think twice about it. And so many of these early saints, particularly when persecutions were upon them and when they were struggling so much just to establish the faith, all these times they would simply discard it and take the axe or the sword or the fire or whatever it happened to be. They wouldn't care anything about it. And brothers and sisters, this should be our attitude. Not that we want the axe or the fire or the sword, although it could come upon us, and God willing, we would find the strength in that day to give ourselves over to that sort of thing. But the idea of lying in the bier should be in the back of our minds our entire lives, not in a morbid sense, but in the sense of a beautiful and wondrous door opening up to the glories of heaven. That's what we want. That is why we live, to achieve that. And that's not saying we deny all the good things that may come our way in life. As St. Porphyrius says so wonderfully, all of these things that we see in creation, and even talks about swimming, we should enjoy these things. They're given to us as gifts for us from God. They're wondrous and beautiful things. But at the same time, as I've tried to say so many times, in our lives, there's always that little cloud of mortality hovering over the top of us, knowing that how many things could go well, ultimately we have to face up to the fact that the Lord is going to call us to Him and that we're going to have to make an account before Him. But that's the strength we get from the font. That's the strength that Anna got from her incessant prayer and devotion to God her entire life. And this is what we should have too. Again, not in a morbid sense, but in a joyful sense. Because the things, my brothers and sisters, as all the saints have told us, the things that are waiting for us in that day, you can't even compare the greatest moment you've ever had in this life to what is waiting. It's absolutely going to be astounding. But like you can't break into a movie theater most times for the back door, you have to stand in line to get the ticket. And for us, that standing in line is staying on the path of our faith, practicing it every single day, growing closer and closer to God, so that one day, when that day comes and the great movie theater in the sky opens its doors, we'll be able to walk in and be recognized by Him. This is what we want. This is what we desire. This is certainly what the holy and righteous Anna achieved at this point in her life at her holy door mission. So by the prayers of the holy and righteous Anna, the mother of the Mother of God, may our Lord Jesus Christ bring all of us into His grace and favor. Amen.